Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we are just oh so grateful, God. That is our prayer, that you would bring new wine out of us. Oh, Jesus, we stand in surrender, surrender to you. God, as we surrender to you, we make ourselves available to you, for you. So God, as a group of people this morning, we stand in surrender to you. We say, have your way. Have your way in our hearts. Have your way in our life. Remove those things that are not meant to be there, God, and fill them with your love and your mercy and your grace. Thank you for your word, God. We thank you that your word has the power to change. To change us. To make us more like you. That we may be your representatives on this earth. Showing others your love, your grace and your mercy. That many may come to find you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, team. You know, we had a great prayer meeting this morning, 9:15 in the building now in Function Room 3. We're praying every week, 9:15 to 9:45. And I just want to encourage you to get here early and be a part of that. Also, we were so pleased with, you know, over 50 people signed up to be prayer ministers. How many know that's a great thing? It's a great thing. Come on, guys. 50 people praying 15 minutes a day. All in unity together. But, you know, I just want to say, maybe you weren't here last week. Maybe this is the first time you're talking about our prayer ministry. It's not too late. We want everyone to be a prayer minister of this house. God has called this house to be a house of prayer. And we are going to pray, and we are going to pray, and we are going to continue to pray until we see God do what I know he wants to do. It takes God's people standing up in the fight, pushing back the powers of darkness. And we are going to do that. And so if you're a part of this church, we want you to be a prayer minister. If you just email us at melbourne@dreambuilders.church and just say, I want to be a prayer minister, or talk to me afterwards, and I will send you an assignment. We've got 4 assignments. They're all different. And you'll do that assignment for a month, and then we'll rotate to another one. But it's basically praying for the church. It's praying for our community. It's praying for our nation. We're believing for revival in all of those areas. Amen? And when God's people stand together in unity, my Bible tells me he commands the blessing. And so let's all be a part of the blessing of God, and come on board and be prayer ministers, and let's pray and see God, what he wants to do in this hour. Well, I'm excited about this morning because I love talking about who I am in Christ. How many know that you can read it, and you can learn it, and you can read it, and you can know it, but there's still a time where you don't know it? Because the truth is, we have to read it and learn it and know it all the time. Because if the enemy can attack us in any area of our life, it's right here that he'll do it, in who I am. If we don't know who we are in Christ, we tend to struggle a lot more than when we do. Because the truth is, who we are in Christ is who we are. It's the truth of who we are. But the enemy will always come and lie to us. And for many people, he's lied over many, many years. He's the father of lies. That's what he does. And so he lies to us and tells us a whole lot of things that aren't true about us. But the truest thing about you is what God says about you. And so we're going to go through that again this morning. And if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to talk through Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 2 this morning. I'm actually going to start in Ephesians chapter 2. Because Ephesians chapter 2 begins with our plight, our life of sin, a life without hope, a life that could only lead to death. Because the outcome of sin can only be death. Sin has one ruler, and his goal is always to steal, kill, and destroy lives. We see it happening all around us in our world all the time. So if you turn to Ephesians chapter 2, I want to read from verses 1 to 3. It says, and this is where it starts about our plight of sin. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil. the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. But by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. See, we all have a sin problem. Every single person on the planet, without exception, has a sin problem. We all start on a level playing field. Every single one of us. None of us are better than anybody else. We all are sinners. The Bible tells us that. It doesn't matter what country we're from, doesn't matter what background, what beliefs, what behaviours. It makes absolutely no difference, because every single one of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And sin is simply that, living short of God's standard. We're all born into sin, and we're all capable of being involved in sin every single day. And you're thinking, gee, Karen, I'm feeling so uplifted right now. But we need to know this, guys, because, you see, no person on the planet is excluded from this condition. We're all made in the image of God. We were made to be in relationship with Him right from the very beginning. But unfortunately, He gave us our own free will, and we chose to live for ourselves. We chose to do wrong. We chose to live without God. And mankind continues to enter into sin and to live without God today. Right back at the very start, mankind blamed each other for their personal choice to disobey God, and it hasn't stopped. We continue to blame. We continue to use as excuses for wrong behavior. It's all called sin. But, verse 4, but God, church. That is the plight of every single one of us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23 tells us. But verse 4 of Ephesians 2 says, but God is so rich in mercy. He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you've been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ, and He seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we were united with Christ Jesus. So God can put us in all future ages, point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all He has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you. He saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you've done. None of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Jesus is our hope. A world lost in sin. A world on a fast track to death, but Jesus is our hope, and this hope is for everyone. This hope is not just for some, it's for all. God's love was so great for His creation that He saw us dead in our sin, and in His great love for us, He provided a way. He provided a way so that we could be free from sin and we could be free from death, and then we could live in eternity with Him. There is a longing in the heart of God for you and me. You know, He longs for His creation. God longs to be reconciled with every single person on the planet. So in His great mercy, He gives us His hope. He gives us this hope, not because we deserve it, because He loves us. Because He loves us so much. No matter how good you are, no matter how many good deeds you might do, how much you consider others, or whether you live a completely selfish life, and only consider yourself, neither lifestyle can earn you salvation. Nothing we do can earn us salvation, because it cannot be earned. It's a gift. It's a gift that we have to receive. And so we see right there is that it's on us now. We're sinners. God's made a way. He's made a way for us to be reconciled to Him. He's given us the hope of Jesus. And it's right now at this point where we say, when God's saying, this is a gift that I'm giving to you. Salvation is a gift. You just have to receive it. And so that's when it comes on us. And it says, well, our part in this right now is to say, I receive that gift of salvation from you, God. I'm thankful for that gift of salvation. And when we receive that gift of salvation, we become those that are in Christ. We are no longer our own, but we belong to Him because He's paid a price and redeemed us back to Himself, and we become those that are in Christ. So when we talk about knowing who we are in Christ, it's at this point that we begin to walk on the journey of salvation, of knowing who we are in Christ. That we are no longer who we were. We are now on the road to who He wants us to become. And so in verse 10 it says, for we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Two words I want to look at there is, first of all, anew. We are anew in Christ. He's created us anew in Christ. And the other one is masterpiece. Colossians 3:10 says, put on your new nature. See, when we say yes to that gift of salvation, when we say, yes, God, I want to receive your gift of salvation, we take on a new nature. The old is gone. We turn our back. We repent on who we were, and we turn around and we walk towards who He wants us to be. And Jesus provides us with a new nature. Colossians says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Part of knowing what your new nature is learning who He is. Spending time with Him, becoming like Him. Verse 12 says, this is the new nature, since God chose you to be a holy people, did you know that God's chosen you to be a holy people? A holy people that He loves. You must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Well, who does that sound like? Who does that sound like to you? Tender-hearted mercy, kindness, Jesus, of course. So He's saying, I've made a way for you to put on a new nature in Jesus, which is taking on the characteristics and the attributes of who Jesus is. Ephesians 4:24 says, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Our new nature in Christ is one of becoming more like Him. It's understand knowing His love and letting His love work out through us. Our motivation is to live for Him. Our motivation is to surrender to Him and become more like Him. We have the choice to live as everyone else does in the world or to live as Christ would have us live. And when we receive that gift of salvation, we're actually saying, I want to become more like you. This journey of salvation is a journey. I'm going to work it out every day of my life. I don't just receive the gift and all of a sudden I'm perfect. Wouldn't that be amazing? But that's not how it works. You know, God talks there about God's masterpiece. He calls us a masterpiece or a workmanship. I want to read this from the Amplified Bible. It says, for we are His workmanship, His own masterwork, a work of art. Did you know you're a work of art? A work of art created in Christ Jesus, listen to this, reborn from above, spiritually transformed. See, you've been reborn from above. You're no longer the person you were. You've got the opportunity to be reborn and to take on this new nature that Jesus died so that we can have the opportunity to do that. Spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which He set so that we would walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us. Do you know that God has set a path for you before you were even born? Why would we not walk on that path? Why do we veer to the left and the right? Why do we turn around sometimes and go backwards? The key to that, let me tell you, is knowing who you are in Christ. The key to that is saying, you know what, enemy? I refuse to hear what you're saying to me right now because this is who I know I am. Because this is what God's word says about me. Here's the thing with a masterpiece. It's usually displayed for people to see and admire, to stand in awe of and appreciate the work of the artist. Remember many years ago, Dale and I went to had the privilege of going to the Louvre in France, and you know, we're not great art people, but we definitely wanted to see the Mona Lisa because everybody wants to see the Mona Lisa when you go to the Louvre, you know, it's the masterpiece. And so we went and we queued, and it's about this big, and there's about 500 people wanting to see the masterpiece. But, you know, just the fact that everybody wanted to see this masterpiece, they wanted to see the painter and what he'd done, and the amazing as it was, I mean, to me it was just a picture of a woman. You know, you can tell my art culture is not that great, but anyway, it was the masterpiece. But you know what, this is not about us. This is not about us being put on a wall and showing who we are. It's about showing the incredible wealth of his grace and his mercy and his kindness and his faithfulness to me and to you. You know, if we go back to verse 7, we see how God intends his masterpiece for the world to see. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. We are his masterpiece. I want to go right back now to the start of Ephesians. Right back to chapter 1. Right back to chapter 1 where we started last week, or the week before. Because now what I want to do is I've sort of started at the end. You know, I've finished and now I'm starting again. Does that make sense? Anyway, we'll finish at masterpiece a bit later on. But if we go back to Ephesians 1 verse 1 in the Amplified Bible, it says this. To the saints. Did you know you're a saint? You are a saint. It says God's people, or God's holy people, who are at Ephesus and are faithful and loyal and steadfast in Christ Jesus. A saint is someone that is of exceptional holiness of life. A person of holiness, virtue, or kindness. That is who God sees us. You might say, I am so far from holy, it's not funny. We could all say that. Here's the point. To God, he sees you through Jesus. He sees you through what Jesus has already done. So he sees you as a saint. You are his saint. When you are in Christ, you are a saint. Verse 3, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Blessed. You are blessed. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And Dale talked about this on the first week that he opened this series up. Everything we have in Christ is all a part of our spiritual blessing. See, blessing is not the stuff that we have. Spiritual blessing is all the things we have in Christ. All the things that we're talking about being loved by the Father, about being adopted into his family, being carriers of his presence. This is all our spiritual wealth. This is all our spiritual blessing. When you are in Christ, you are blessed. So when you are in Christ, you're a saint. When you're in Christ, you're blessed. Verse 4 says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves you. And we heard about this last week. Jenna talked about how much the Father loves us. How much he loves us. How much we can approach him. How much he wants us to be with him. No one will ever love us like God does. No one will ever love you like God does. Many of you are looking in all the wrong places for the love that you want and the love that you need. I'm telling you, the greatest love, the greatest lover of your soul is God. He's your Father. He's the one that wants to love you. He chose you. He chose you to be in Christ, holy and without fault in his eyes. And his eyes are the only eyes that matter. Oh, if some people could just get this. His eyes are the only eyes that matter. We work so hard to be loved and accepted in the eyes of everybody else, but they're not the ones that matter. He's the one that matters. When we're in Christ, when you're in Christ, you are chosen and you are loved. Ephesians 1 verse 5 says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Do you know it gave God great pleasure to adopt you? To call you a child of God. He loved you so much. He wanted you in his family. He wanted me in his family. He adopted us and he made us heirs with Jesus. And he gives us the right to his son, to be his sons and his daughters. See, when you're in Christ, you're adopted into the family of God. Verse 7, he's so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. Lost in sin and death. That's what I started with. That was every single one of us, but he forgave us and he redeemed us by his sacrifice. He brought us back from death to life. He gave us freedom from guilt and shame. When you are in Christ, you are redeemed. You are redeemed from the sin of the past. You're redeemed from guilt and shame. Jesus has paid the price. Don't keep carrying it around. Don't keep letting it rule your life. When you're in Christ, you are free from that. Because you've been redeemed. Ephesians 1:18 says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope that he's given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Does that mean that we are God's inheritance? Can you imagine? I always thought an inheritance was something that was of major benefit to you, you know, or that's how God feels about us. He wants us as his inheritance. He's paid a massive price so that we can be his glorious inheritance. You've been called. You've been called by God. You've been called to be his children. You've been called to be carriers of his gospel message. You've been called to represent him on the earth, called to love as he loves. Called to show kindness as he does. Live the way that people live in a way that people see his character and his attributes outworked through you. Jesus chose you. Jesus called you. He called each and every one of you. When you are in Christ, you are called. Ephesians 1:22 to 23 says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. We are his body. Every one of us, every single one of us that have received that gift, that find themselves in Christ, are the body of Christ. And every single one, my Bible tells me, is a necessary part of the body. You are a necessary part of this body. Every single one of us, he's called you to be a part of his body, to be a part of the church. So when one suffers, we all suffer. When one has cause to rejoice, we all rejoice together because we are part of this body. God chose the church to be carriers of the hope for the world. Wow. Do you realize that God called you, chose you to be carriers of the hope that our world needs? There are people in our world right now desperate for hope, and we're the carriers of it. We're the ones that understand what the gospel is all about. We're the ones that have been redeemed ourselves. We know that Jesus has made a way for each one of us. And now he's saying, can you take that and tell others? Can you share that with others? Because I've called you as my body. I've called you as my representatives. This hope, Jesus, is only going to get to the world through the church. And that's why it's so important that we understand that, you know, the church is God's idea. The church was always God's idea to take the message of hope to a dying world. So we can't afford to be those people that are bagging out the church or not agreeing with the church. We are the church. Every single one of us are the church. And I think about why God would do that. Why would he put the hope of the world in the hands of of the church, sinful humanity, because he loves us so much and he believes in us. He believes in us. And he says, here, take this message to the world. Bring hope to the people you know in your world. See, when you are in Christ, you're a part of the body. You're a part of the body, or called the church. Ephesians 2, verse 6 says, "For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus." Because we are united with Christ Jesus. We were lifted out of sin and death when we received Jesus as our Saviour, and we were seated with him in heavenly places. So he takes us out of the mire and the clay. He lifts us out of sin. He says, here, hop up here. Sit up here in heavenly places. Live in spiritual blessing. But don't I have to do something first? No, this is a gift. I love you so much, I just want to do that for you. I want you right with me. See, we are no longer citizens of a worldly kingdom. We are citizens of a heavenly one. And I think that's sometimes where we get a bit mixed up. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. We've been lifted out of this world into a new place, a new world, a kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We are representing heaven here on earth. So we are not a part of all that's going on here. Yes, we're in it, and yes, we're living through it. But here's the thing, remember, because you are in Christ, you've been lifted to heavenly places. You've been given a Holy Spirit to help you every day, to guide you, to strengthen you, to give you this, everything that you need to live as Jesus died to make available to us. We are united. We are one. United means we agree. We're in harmony. We act as a single entity with him. He is in us and he wants to work through us. And that's why it's so important that we are a people that are hungry to spend time with God, that we actually become more like Christ, that we take on his character, that we say, you know what, I might have been stingy in my old life, but you know what, in my new life, in my new nature, I'm a generous person because that's the nature of God. I might have disliked people and been angry with people in my old life, but you know what, I have a new nature right now and I am full of love and I am full of kindness and I want to reach out to people, I want to live in peace and I want to show peace and I want to be a peacemaker everywhere I go. Why? Because I'm in Christ. Because he's called me to be in Christ. When you're in Christ, you are united with Christ. We are one with him. Do you understand what that means? We are united with Christ. Just think about that for a moment. I can't think of anyone else I'd rather be united with. I love being united with my husband. It's not quite the same as being united with Christ. I am one with him. You know, when we finish, I want to finish where we've started. And I just, yeah, Robbie, can I just have you for the moment? Just you, none of the others, just for a moment. No, I just want one instrument, is my point. I know, that did sound a bit... That's okay. I want to finish where we started. You know, when we come to that place of acknowledging Jesus as Lord and Saviour of our life, we enter into a place of being in Christ. We are born again. Now our life can be different. Can be different. We become all those things because of him. All these benefits are ours because of Jesus. It's nothing we can do but receive and then put ourselves in a place where we allow him to grow in us and through us. When you're in Christ, you are his masterpiece. Ephesians 2, 18 to 22 says, now all of us, can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. Can I just say at this point, If you're feeling like right now, I haven't received that gift of salvation. You're sitting here today and you're like, well, I don't think I've ever really received that. You can do that today. We want to encourage you to come and receive that gift of salvation because it's for you. God loved you. He died for you. He's got a pathway for you to walk on. If you need to come to that place of just receiving Jesus as your gift of salvation today, immediately following this service, I'll be over here on my right-hand side. If you come over there, I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to introduce you to Jesus. So every one of us comes to the Father through the same Holy Spirit. We can come anytime. Do you know you can go anytime to a loving Father that waits for you, is ready for you whenever you call? Verse 19 says, and now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You're citizens along with all of God's holy people. You're members of God's family together are his house, built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, and the cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. His body, his house, all joined together, we are becoming his holy temple. Each one of us, living stones joined together to form the temple. Get this, to form the temple where he dwells. Do you know that you're a living stone? You're one of the living stones that make up the temple where God chooses to dwell. When we believe this, and we receive this gift of salvation, we become those that are now in Christ. We no longer are our own, but we are his. We belong to him. We are all these things in him. You are not what you say or what others say about you. You are who he says you are. And so you can declare, I am blessed. Thanks, Sarah. I am blessed. Chosen, loved, adopted, redeemed, saint in Jesus Christ. I am called as a part of his body, the church, as also known as his family, his bride, which makes me united and one with Christ. I have a new nature in Christ, and he calls me his masterpiece, his inheritance, a place where he dwells, his temple. Now, I want every single one of us to read that out together right now. On the count of three, we're going to start, okay? You think we can do this? Everyone read it out together, because I believe that this is so important for us to actually confess this. I think it's something that we should be confessing every single day, reminding ourselves over and over again that this is who we are. It doesn't matter what other people have said about you. It doesn't matter what you think about yourself. What God says is what's the truth, and this is the truth right here. So come on the count of three, let's all say this together. One, two, three. Up here. I am blessed, chosen, loved, adopted, redeemed, saint in Jesus. I'm called as a part of his body, the church, also known as his family, his bride, which makes me united or one with Christ. I have a new nature in Christ. He's called me his masterpiece, his inheritance, place where he dwells, his temple. I just want you to take a moment right now, and if you've got your smartphones or you've got a pen, I want you to write those words down. We're going to leave it up there for a moment. Maybe you just need to read it over and over again, but I want you just to write it down. I know it's going to take a moment, but that's okay. I want you to do that. I'm going to pray while you are doing that, because I just believe that confessing this every day is going to set some people free in this place today, because you are blessed, you are chosen, you are loved, you are adopted, you are redeemed, you're a saint in Christ Jesus. You are called, every one of you, as a part of his body, the church, also known as his family, his bride, which makes me united with him. I have a new nature in Christ, and he calls me his masterpiece, his inheritance, a place where he dwells, his temple. All the smart people are just taking photos of it right now. That's a great idea. How good is technology today? You know, and I just want to say, you know, Sarah, I love the fact that you shared your testimony today, and I want you to know God has blessed you and He wants to continue to bless you. You got a great heart after God, and the more hungry you get for God, the more He's going to bestow His blessing on you. Your job is just the start of what God wants to do in your life. So continue to declare that over your life. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. You know, Michael, God loves you. Yeah, you. He loves you. He loved you before you were even born. He chose a path for you. He's got a path for you. And even though you've had part of your life where you've strayed from that, you're on that path right now. And I believe if you will stay on that path, God's going to continue to show His love to you over and over again. You're going to see God's love outworked in you, but one day through you. To those you know, to those that you don't know, you're going to show love to people that you've never met before in the days ahead, because you're going to know the overwhelming love of God. The overwhelming, if you don't feel that already, I believe that's coming to you, the overwhelming love that God has for you. And for Brock, you know, you are called. Where is he? Can't even see him. Oh, there he is, under his hat. Brock, you're called. God called you. He's called you before. He's calling you again. And He's going to keep calling you. And right now you're in a place where you've answered that call. And that call is just going to become more clear to you. You're going to see what I believe God's going to show you, your future. He's going to show you a little bit. He doesn't show us the whole future, but He's going to show you a little bit of what He wants on your life. And if you just continue to stay hungry for God, God's going to continue to call you, continue to release you in all that He has for you. You know, we are part of the body of Christ. We're all called, we're all chosen to be this temple that God lives in. I wonder, would you bow your heads with me, please? Jesus, we thank You so much for the price You paid for each and every one of us. A gift, a free gift to each one of us. And Lord, I pray for every single person in this house today, whether they have received that gift 5 days ago or 50 years ago, I pray for a fresh revelation of who we are in Christ, that we will no longer talk down of ourselves, we will no longer talk down of one another, because we are Your family, we are Your body, we are Your church, and You love each of us the same. You love each of us. You've chosen each of us. And so, Lord, I pray that we will, as a family of believers, continue to encourage each other in who we are in Christ. Holy Spirit, I ask that You will encourage each individual every day to be reminded of who they are in Christ. When the enemy comes and throws things against us, that we will stand strong and say, no, this is the truth. This is the truth. I get rid of that lie and I exchange it with the truth of who I am in Christ. Lord, I pray that we will remember and we will rely on Your Spirit to help us. Holy Spirit, would You remind us every day and help us in those moments when we lose our way to come straight back to remembering and knowing who we are in You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love for me. Who the Son?
Shut. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Think about what Jesus has done for us. It's just overwhelming. And when we think about who we are in Him, it's just amazing. You may be seated. You know, we now have the privilege of praising God for a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit that's taken place in one of our brothers' lives, and that is Aditya. And I'm going to ask you, Aditya, if you would come up here with me right now. This is your graduation day, sir. We are very, very proud of you. And I think you have some family and friends, perhaps from Indonesia, on our YouTube channel even right now, probably watching. Your family are all watching. What's your mum and dad's name? Say that again. Genua and Ani. Well, welcome to Dream Builders Church. We're delighted that you're able to be here with us via the live stream to celebrate what God is doing and has done in our brother Aditya's life. Anyone that's unaware, at Dream Builders Church, we are one of the... We have a ministry called Centre for Change. And within Centre for Change are many different ministries. One of those happens to be the Transformations Program. And the Transformations Program is particularly for those who have struggled with addiction in their life. And they're coming to be a part of a rehabilitation program, but we prefer to call it a discipleship program, because we want them to be discipled to Christ and for Christ to become your answer in life. So Aditya, I'm going to ask you some questions, and I'm going to give you this microphone. So it's an exam. You don't pass this, you don't get... Aditya, obviously we're sad that so many people in the world struggle with addiction. When did addiction start for you?
Well, I started using drugs since 2004, around 2004. But it just got worse about 8 years ago. Like, it just became...
So when was the low point then? You know, obviously addiction started in 2004. What did it start with?
It started with just having fun with friends and stuff like that. But eventually just gradually got worse and worse, and I think my lowest points was like around 2014, 2015, where it's just getting really uncomfortable, mm-hmm. like, you know, just unmanageable. And yeah, it's just...
So you were hurting your own life, but what else was happening around you?
It's not just hurting my life, but my family, you know, my wife's life, you know. Made her go through hell, you know. Just a lot of things, you know. Almost losing my house and everything, and you know, it's just a big mess.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we know, you know, that the scripture says that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And those of us who are Christ followers know that the enemy is the devil, our adversary, the devil. And you know, in my mind, you know, drugs come from the pit of hell, because the enemy is coming to try to destroy your life. But thank God you heard about the Transformations Program. What was it that brought you here?
Well, I believe it's one of God's works and plan in my life, because during that time when I was in my lowest as well, the funny thing is when I was looking for rehab because of my court cases and stuff, my wife actually mentioned this program, like Transformation. It's a Christian rehab, and in my head where I'm still in addiction and in delusional state, I was like, oh, Christian rehab for 1 year? Nah, I'm not gonna do that. So I went to another rehab for 3 months. But went back to addiction after three months. And just the funny thing is, like, when I was looking for another rehab, and Transformation just pops back, and so I contacted Steve, and he helped me to come here. So.
Wow, that's fantastic! You know, Steve's one of the leaders in our program, and we're so thrilled that that you made that phone call, and that you're here. For anyone that doesn't know, right now Aditya is the residential leader in our Transformations program. So. So the men that live together, this is a therapeutic community, they all live together in one household, and it's a challenge. It's an iron sharpening iron kind of relationship, and Aditya has not only graduated the program, but he has actually accepted the responsibility to take on residential leader. And so he's a mentor, he's a leader, he's a help and a strength, he's a brother and an encourager to his brothers who are working through addiction right now. And we are so proud of you, Aditya, and so thankful to God that you came. Can you just, if you were to say what the one thing that makes Transformations different from you were in another rehab, what would be the one thing? There's lots of things, but what would be the main thing from your perspective?
One of them is the God aspect of it, the Christian aspect of it, you know, because I do realize I won't be able to do it without God's help. And also in Transformation, it's just not about addiction, but it's also a behavior change program. Mm-hmm. So, you know, because addiction most likely stem from bad behaviors that we learn during our life. So that's the difference. But the main thing is just the God aspect, you know, getting close to God and knowing that I'm helpless without Him.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. So, yeah, wow, thank you. So, behavioral change, you know, we all know, we've all struggled with something in our life, and trying to overcome that in your own strength is almost impossible. And the fact that Aditya came to that point of saying, I need help, I need Jesus in his life. And, you know, when we're talking about behavior changing, it's the work of the Holy Spirit to do that. He's changing us more and more into the likeness of Jesus every day. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's evident in your life. We see that, and we're so grateful that you have an opportunity to help others connect with Jesus and discover freedom, which is what the program is all about, really, if we could summarize it. So, Aditya, just take this moment, if you want to thank certain people. You know, if you've got something to share, this is your moment. You can look at the folks, and if you want to look at the camera, you can do that too. Go for it.
I think I've put some on my phone, because if you can't tell, I'm really nervous right now. And just bear with me, because sometimes when I'm nervous, either I giggle or laugh stupidly, or my accent become really weird. And because even when I first called Steve, he thought I was an African guy. Because, yeah, so just bear with me.
And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with your Indonesian accent, and if there are Africans who happen to be watching and you need to be a part of our program, please come.
See, as you can see, the title of it is Winged Speech. So, I just want to thank Rob first because for organizing that song New Wine, and for Dawn for singing it, because that song actually is kind of close to my heart, and it's just funny how he's like just sang it on Soak on Wednesday without saying anything, because it's just the words there, you know, for me to yield to Jesus, trust him, you know, and he kind of used transformation to crush and press me into the new wine, and so now I have a new life and freedom. So thank you for that, and I can say that I'm still not perfect, you know. I can still say dumb things and act like an idiot, like as Roger reminds me often. But I know I'm perfect in God's eye. So during this time in my transformation, you know, I've learned coping skills, you know, forgiveness of shame and guilt, and gained a lot of wisdom, weight, and gray hair as well. So now probably I can use my story as a testimony. I can say I'm proud of it. that I survived this long. And also hopefully nobody is alarmed. In Dream Builder Church here today, it's not an Asian invasion, but it's just most of my friends are Asian. So you see a lot of Asian here today. So so I just want to thank God first for his love and protection and his blessing in my life, you know. And my wife, although she can be annoying sometimes, but she's stuck through hell for me. Oh gosh, I'm in trouble now. Yeah. I might stay at your house tonight, Sam. My family back home that is watching through YouTube live right now, you know, they supported me and helped me throughout my worst, and it would be good when I can go and visit them back home.
Yes.
Pastor Dale and Karen as well for your love and care. Roger and Deborah for their love, kindness, and discipline. They're like my parents here in transformation. Steve Dunnett for being a mentor, a friend, although sometimes he gives me tough love, but I know he loved me, because just between you and me, when I told him a few months ago that I graduated, he cried on the phone. So
that's awesome.
And Sam, my friend, for being a friend and a good scapegoat when I got into trouble in the office or with my wife. Fiona for her kindness as well, Fiona Adams, and for all the volunteers, you know, Richard with his 100-year-old wisdom for... I love you, old man. And Sharon for making Richard behave.
Amen.
Stephen Gellard for teaching me stage one, and Valerie. And just a side note, they have the same wedding anniversary as me and my wife. Diane and David Burnell for their prayers and teaching on stage two. Cameron Mahoney for teaching in stage two. And Tatum, which until now I'm still scared how to spell her name. And for the people in the book club, you know, Damien, Peter, and also all the boys that has been with me in the program, like Rock Fessel that just graduated a month ago as well. Jacob, you know, and all the other boys that some of them are here that was in my program. And my good friends as well, you know, Anton, he's back there, even though it's embarrassing to call him as a friend with that Korean boy band haircut, but he stuck through with me during my time, he claimed he knows that I was still lying to him, but yeah, he stuck by me and supported me throughout, and his family and our friends as well, Arjun, and Mike, my pastor and their family from Praise Center Church, and my Connect group and friend from Praise Center Church as well that is here today, and everyone in Dream Builders here as well for accepting me like a family here. And also, I think that's it. And others that are too many to mention one by one, or they haven't paid me for a mention yet. So, thank you.
Fantastic. All right, I'm just going to ask Roger and Deborah if they would come up here. They are the directors of Center for Change. Obviously, as I said, the Transformations Program is one of those programs. So I'm just going to give the microphone to Deborah and to Roger. And they're going to lead up to the presentation of your certificate and also the eagle, which represents the wonderful achievement. And so I'll let Roger and Deborah talk about that, Adit. So thank you for all your kind words and even the Korean boy haircut. We love Koreans. Just Dream Builders Church is a multi-ethnic, multi-generational community of faith, and we welcome all. Just that.
So I feel a bit intimidated following Aditya. Who knew that you were so hilarious? They've been up. The photos have been up. And Aditya, it's my privilege to be able to present you with this eagle as a symbol of your journey in transformations. And the eagle signifies the apex predator of the bird world. It is the only bird that flies into a storm rather than away from it. As the storm, it uses the storm to go higher, and that's what I see in you. You have flown high in this storm. The eagle doesn't flap its wings madly. It soars on the wind itself. And today we encourage you, Aditya, to soar like an eagle, for that is what you are. And Aditya, you're actually showing one of your eagle-like qualities as the residential leader. And I'd just like to read Deuteronomy 32:11 to you. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carry them aloft. You are that eagle, spreading your wings and carrying the guys in your care. Bless you.
Amen.
Woo! Good job. Church, I want to talk to you first, if I may, just for a moment to thank you. I hope you heard Aditya's feelings about you. Yeah, because it echoes the guys who all say that. Some of you may not know, this isn't a ditch in this story, but a number of people get bailed to our program, so they have to be here. Some of them choose to leave because it's hard, and they actually choose when they do that. If they're bailed here, they end up back in jail. Some people we actually even have to occasionally exit because they've broken one of our key rules that they're not allowed to, and we have to take them. They can choose. We can take them to the police station or they end up on the run. And we had one just recently, and we saw on Facebook that there's a warrant for his arrest. But those people often end up back in jail, and they tell their friends, if you're going to go to a rehab, come to this one. So church, I want to thank you, because it's not what, well, it is partly what the leaders do, and some of you are volunteers as well, what you do, but it's what all of you do in showing God's love and welcome and kindness to the guys that are in our programs and the girls that are in our online programs when they come here as well. So thank you, church. We are grateful. And we're grateful to Jesus for everybody who comes through this program. Whether they stay for a week, they get to come in here. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Right? Doesn't matter if they only stay for a week. They walk in these doors and they get to see you all and they hear about God. We're grateful to people who stay for 6 months, but we're particularly grateful for the ones that we get to celebrate who stay the course and graduate. Aditya, from Mike Barrett, the CEO of Transformations Program Australia, and all the leaders and the board from Transformations Program Australia, they asked me to pass on their love and congratulations to you today. Well done. I was having a chat to Steve about some stories. Everybody that goes through this program goes through something. One of the things that happens here is we occasionally stage demote a person. So you've been working through it. You got into stage two, so he'd been here for at least, I'm going to say 4 or 5 months. And sometimes people aren't perfect, and we stage the motion. Well, so from stage two to stage one, but in a ditch's case, he went all the way back to assessment. But that, you know, it, here he is, yeah? So sometimes it is tough love, isn't it, Steve? And occasionally we have to do a room search in the house, and we found a tomahawk in a ditch's wardrobe, and we're still not sure why. A ditch has always bought a whole lot of tools over and helped us with a whole lot of things, and it was an important part of his toolkit. Anyway, it's part of Steve's toolkit now. It helps him when he's helping others. Everyone's got a story. What I really noticed about you from the day you got here was a quiet determination to change your life. Like you said, you went to that other rehab and you hadn't stuck it, and some people, it doesn't stick, and it takes some time before they go, I'm really going to do this. But for you, you were like that from day one. You struggled, and at times, you know, it was difficult, but you never said, I'm going to quit, I'm going to leave. You always had a quiet determination, and it makes us particularly proud of you. The song today, Get Up Out of That Grave, Picked Up and Turned Around, made me think of you. So well done. And when I was thinking about what I wanted to say about you, this is all that came to me, Aditya. I wanted to pray this over you. I know we'll pray for you later. I've got to find it. Sorry. Found the wrong thing. 2 seconds. I forgot my glasses yesterday. I couldn't do anything. I wanted to pray this over you, my friend. The Lord bless you, Aditya, and keep you and protect you, sustain you and guard you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, Aditya, with favour, and be gracious to you, surround you with loving kindness. The Lord lift up his countenance, his face upon you, Aditya, with divine approval, and give you peace, a tranquil heart, and life. Amen.
Amen.
And with that, the Transformations Program graduation certificate, your hands are going to get full, there's more to come. Congratulations, love you, my friend.
One of the things that the graduates get to choose is to choose a ring which celebrates their journey through the Transformations Program. Aditya has chosen to get the ring, and I will just give that to him now. And I would just like to say these words that are often... So these words are the words that Roger and I actually said at our wedding ceremony when we gave rings to each other. But I think it's quite pertinent for today. And because this ring is perfectly symmetrical, shaped in the symbol of completeness and eternity, it signifies the perfection of the true love of God. And Aditya, I just feel like God is saying to you, and that you are saying to God, I give you all that I am and ever hope to be as a symbol of my love, my faith in our strength together, and my covenant to learn and grow with you. And I'm sure that that is God's wish for you, and that you will walk with him in that.
Amen. All righty. Let's go down here right now. We'll put your certificate just there. And you just need to just, everyone's going to get a little bit of this cake, I think, later on. So you just have to, as part of the graduation, is use your tomahawk and cut the cake. Fantastic. Congratulations. Let's all stand, everyone. Let's all stand. Just going to ask Steve and Sam and Fiona, if you just join us right now. We're going to pray for Aditya right now. Stay here, bro. All right, we're just going to gather around and pray right now. Fantastic. Lord, we just want to... sorry. Is your pastor here?
No.
No? Oh, okay. No worries. Oh, no, he's got to run his own church. I just thought for a second, then you mentioned them, and I thought if they were there, they could be praying with us. But your Connect Group leader, you could come, please, my brother. Thank you. Come here. Yeah, you just stand on that side of Aditya there. Thank you so much. I'm Dale.
William.
William, nice to meet you, William. Lord, I want to say thank you for Aditya. We're so grateful that you brought him to Dream Builders Church, and that in this season of discipleship that he's gone through, that Lord, you have helped him to break free of the things that have held him captive and have bound him. Thank you, you break the chains that bind, that you set the captives free. And Lord, we thank you that we can declare freedom over Aditya's life today. We thank you, Lord God, that he is a child of God, that he is called, he is chosen, he is anointed and equipped by the power of God to be your servant and your mouthpiece in these days that lie ahead. Anoint him and bless him, Lord, as he ministers and helps other addicts. God, we are believing that together we're going to celebrate many more stories, just like Aditya's, of people who would say, once I was bound, now I am free. We want to say thank you, Holy Spirit, for your supernatural work. Bless our brother. Bless Awida. Bless his family. God, in Jesus' name, may they know the blessing of God that makes rich and adds no sorrow. As the psalmist says, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Praise God.
Yes, I am. Who the sun set?
Who the sun sets free? Oh, he's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
In my Father's house.
In my Father's house. There's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Just want to thank you all for being a part of that. It's so special, and those online too, thank you for being a part of this special day. You know, we want to have the opportunity to talk to people always about what God is doing through our Center for Change and programs like Transformations Program. And Center for Change are running a high tea here on Saturday, May the 8th. That's the day before Mother's Day. And there are flyers available. And so, ladies, you know, invite friends, anyone. We just want to celebrate Mother's Day here on the 8th. These flyers are there. All the details and everything are on these. I think there's people handing them out. So on your way out, please take a hold of them. This is for ladies in the church, but also for lots of other contacts, friends. Men, you can take them too if you know there are people that need, your mum needs to be here, be celebrated or whatever. Please do that. And also a reminder, if you haven't signed up to be a prayer minister, you can email us at melbourne@dreambuilders.church, or you can just, you know, just mention it to Karen or myself, and we'll add your name to the 50, I think it's 53 we already have names already to be prayer ministers, and we will give you a project or an assignment to pray for the next 12 months. The Lord bless you. Have a fantastic rest of Anzac Day. God bless you.